Okay. So, as you can see, the name of the teaching is the wristband. Now, the point of the wristband, as you might be able to figure out, is to walk up to somebody and say the words, "Hey, check out my new wristband." Now, that right there, that's pretty forward. Who thinks they can do that? You don't have to do it to strangers, just people you know. "Hey, check out my new wristband." That, right? And the guy looks at it and he goes, "Jesus." And then, as he's checking out your new wristband, all you have to do is say the next thing. It's all about this. So you say, "Hey, check out my new wristband. Hey, you know, Jesus died for all my sins on the cross, and he rose from the dead, and he gave me a new life. And now I have purpose in my life, and I know that God loves me, and he's forgiven me of all my sins." That's all you got to say. Does that sound too hard? It's pretty easy, right? And then you watch the guy's reaction. And if he acts like he doesn't, that's the last thing he wants to talk about, you did it. And then if he looks half interested, you can say something like, "You know, whatever he did for me, he'll do for you. If you ever want to talk about it, I'd be glad to talk to you." See how simple that is? So all this is a little thing to say, "Check out my new wristband." Now you're on the subject. You're on the subject you want to be on, right? If you can't do that, then you got to turn your wristband back in. Who thinks they can't do it? "Give me your wristband. Give it back." Everybody can do it?
Yes.
Okay, good. So today we're just talking a little bit about how to testify. And I want you guys to see that, you know, testifying or giving your testimony doesn't have to be this big, long thing where you tell somebody what you did and how bad your life was or anything like that. You're testifying about God and how good he is. That's all you're doing. And that Jesus is real. So let's go over this a little bit and you'll see where we're going. And then we're going to have some class participation, okay? So I just said the 1, 2, 3, 4 there. You see it? You know, Jesus died for me and rose from the dead and he gave me a new life, and now I have real meaning and purpose, and I've really come to know God loves me and God's forgiveness for all my sins. See, here's the point. People don't run into real Christians. They don't run into them. If you're a real Christian, God is inside you, right? And you have a new nature. And so you're a spiritual being. You're spiritually alive. And when you run into somebody that doesn't know God, what you have the ability to communicate to this guy that it's real. This whole thing about the Bible and all this stuff about Jesus, somehow it's real. You have that potential because you've got God inside you. Because they don't meet real Christians usually. I was 30 years old when I became a Christian. You guys know this? My whole time growing up, I didn't know one Christian. Not one. The whole time I went through high school, the whole time, all that, I never met any real Christians. I didn't know any. That's how rare I think it is. So if you're a real Christian, you have this ability to look somebody in the eye and say, look somebody in the eye and say, "You know what? Jesus Christ died for me and he's real. He rose from the dead." Just looking somebody in the eye and telling that is like, boom, wow, the guy's hit. Wow, maybe. Now the Holy Spirit is doing what? The Holy Spirit, we're going to find out in the verses, he is also witnessing. There's two people witnessing. Two people. You and this other person called the Holy Spirit. So when you hit somebody with this reality that you know Jesus, it's not just you freaking the guy out because now he met somebody that thinks it's real. There's also a spiritual power that goes along with that that testifies to this guy. So that's what we're looking at here when we do this. There's a miraculous thing. Okay, so let's see here. Your testimony can awaken someone. And by your testimony, what do we mean by that? Well, let's look at this verse here. I just printed them all out. What's my testimony? Jesus died, was buried, and was resurrected for my sins. That's basically my testimony. Here's the verse. And this is the testimony. That God gave us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. Right there is the testimony. See it? Okay, now look at how John talks when he opens up his book, 1 John. The life was made manifest. What's that? Jesus, God in the flesh. The life was made manifest. We have seen it and testify to it. And proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son Jesus Christ. So He gives you the reason why He's saying anything, why He's even writing His book. Verse 3. We're doing this so that you can come to know Jesus and you can have fellowship with us. And we have fellowship with God. We want to invite you into this thing, right? But see, all He's saying here is we have seen it and testify to it. That Jesus was here. Now, granted, we didn't lay our hands on Jesus, right? Like they did. But do we know Jesus? We can testify also. That's why we've been handed the baton in our day to run with. So we're the guys that testify in our day. Now look at some of these Psalms here. Are really cool. Come in here, all you who fear God, and I will tell what He has done for my soul. See, that's all we're doing. I want to tell you how good God's been to me. Okay? Psalm 71. My mouth will tell of your righteous acts, of your deeds of salvation all the day. For their number is past my knowledge. So even to old age and gray hairs, O God, do not forsake me until I proclaim your might to another generation, your power to all those to come. You see, that's our function, isn't it? We know the Lord, they don't. Why does God leave us here? Well, one of the main reasons He leaves us here is for this. So we can pass along to the next generation that we know the Lord. And then they can come to know the Lord, like John is saying. Okay? And it's not about being a preacher or having some big, long testimony that has to dazzle anybody. It's just so simple, like I said earlier. Hey, I know this Jesus and you can know Him too. It can be so simple, right? Okay. John 15. This is a cool passage. Check this out. Verse 26. But when the Helper comes, whom I will send, Jesus said, to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, He will bear witness about Me. And you also will bear witness, because you have been with Me from the beginning. What does this mean? What does it mean, He will bear witness about Me? What does that mean? Does the Holy Spirit walk up to people and go, let me tell you about Jesus? And the guy is listening to the Holy Spirit. Is that how it works? What does it mean, He bears witness? What does that mean? Okay. He speaks to the heart. Good. So you will bear witness about Me. And all of your words will do nothing to someone except bounce off their stupid ears because they're spiritually dead, right? But if there's another person there who's got more power than you, and He's actually God, He can witness. Okay, but you see, the Holy Spirit doesn't witness to somebody without any words from us. He doesn't witness to somebody in a vacuum of knowledge. He doesn't walk up to somebody who knows nothing. Even these Muslims that are getting converted from their dreams, from what I'm reading, they don't get converted from the dream. All they get out of the dream is this. There's something to this Jesus. I got to figure this out. That's all they get. Then somebody tells them the gospel and they get converted. The gospel has to come from your and my mouth. That's our function. That's just the way God set it up. So the Holy Spirit works with us. That's why Acts 5:32, and we are witnesses to these things. And so is the Holy Spirit. whom God has given to those who obey Him. Me and the Holy Spirit. This is why, I mean, you guys might not believe this the way I do, but like when we go out in the mall and we sing these songs, I really believe this, that the words that we sing are going into their ears, and at times, when the Holy Spirit, whatever He's doing, blows like the wind, we can't control Him, He testifies to people through the words of the song. That's why we want to sing clearly, and we want to sing with the right spirit. We don't want to sing like, "What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I can make me whole again. Nothing but the blood." Right? But if we go, "What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus." And the guy's walking by, he's going, "This guy acts like he believes it." Right? So whether we're singing or talking, it's the words, right? Okay. And then Acts 1:8 there. "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." So the Catholics look at it like, "Oh, the apostles and those guys, they did the preaching and they did the witnessing, and now that's all been done. Now we just make babies and have them baptized, and it spreads that way." You guys think this verse has something to do with you and me? To the end of the earth? That means like going into some island next to Australia that the apostles didn't even know existed, right? Couldn't mean them. It has to mean us. Okay? The end of the earth. So we're part of this big... Isn't that cool that God would let us be part of it? We have a purpose. Don't we? Okay. Let's see. Mark 5, I'm sorry. This is the guy that got healed of the demons. Remember this? Okay, and he wanted to go with Jesus in verse 19. He did not permit him and said, he said, "Go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how He has had mercy on you." Isn't that the same thing we're talking about? "Hey, check out my bracelet. You know, Jesus died for all my sins. And He gave me a new life. And now I have purpose. And I'm in this eternal kingdom. And I know that God loves me. He's forgiven me of all my sins." And you can have that too. Shh, tell about how good God's been to you and had mercy on you. That's all He's supposed to do. Like the woman in John 4. "Come and see this man who told me everything I ever did. Can this be the Christ?" You got the whole town to come out to see Him, right? Okay. Revelation 12 there. "And they have conquered him," that's the devil, "by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. For they loved not their lives even unto death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to you, O earth and sea, for the devil has come down to you in great wrath, because he knows that his time is short." Okay, so here we got this thing. Satan is trying to persecute. He's trying to persecute the Christians, right? And they're being slaughtered. But they didn't love their lives so much to give up their testimony. So they defeated, they became conquerors in this sense. Here's how they became a conqueror. Somebody says, "Stop talking about Jesus," or "Stop believing in Him, or we're going to slit your throat." And the guy goes, I don't love my life that much. I'm going to defeat you by the blood of Jesus, who forgave me of all my sins, and by my testimony, by me saying, no, He's my Savior. I don't care what you do to me. See how that works? So sometimes what we want to see here is this little thing here isn't costing anybody to get their throat slit, is it? I mean, one day it might. But is it costing you anything now? Except, well, I kind of feel kind of funny. What if the guy thinks I'm weird? I mean, how much of a price is that compared to these guys that we're going to look at? Okay, and so Matthew 10, verse 32, he says, "So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven. Okay, so when the Bible says, if you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, right? And believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. So to confess Jesus as Lord, what does that mean? Okay, He's the Lord of my life. That's a form of repentance, right? I'm not the Lord. We talk about this all the time, right? I'm not the Lord. He's my new boss. Okay, but now it says, confess that with your mouth. That's another thing on top of believing it, right? So what does that mean? That means that my life is one of this. I go around and everybody who knows me knows that Jesus Christ is my Lord. I'm confessing that openly. It's not like I got to run up to everybody and tell them. But they just, generally speaking, everybody, I'm not ashamed of this thing. I'm not going to let fear overwhelm me. I'm going to make this known. Otherwise, what? Am I acknowledge? You know, this word acknowledge is, under translations, call it confess. I think confessing is better than acknowledge, but people say that confess is a more accurate word than acknowledge. But the point is, if I don't confess Him openly as my Lord, because I'm ashamed, do I really believe that He's my Lord? That's why this is so simple. You see, hey, check out my bracelet. It can be this simple. Hey, Mikey, check out my bracelet. By the way, Jesus is my Lord. Hey, you testified right there. You did it. Okay, it can be that simple, right? You go, Sam, but you're a street preacher and you're so bold and everything. And you guys know this. When I first became a Christian, I was the guy that made fun of the Bible. And so I had to go to all my friends that I made fun of the Bible with and tell them it was real. You know how hard that was? And they kept going, no, you're not. You're just joking. You don't really think that. No, I really do. It's really real. And then I really had a fear of man. Like I was so ashamed, so to speak, and fearful to be seen with a Bible. You, Sam, the guy that stands up and goes street preaching, you were afraid to be seen with a Bible? Yes. See what I did? I got this big Bible and I went over to 7-Eleven. I told you guys this story, and I ordered some pack of gum or something, and I put the thing down on the counter just like that. I looked at the lady. She looking at me. And I just waited there. Then I pay her, and I got out of there. You know, after that, I was like, wow, it's not so bad. Nobody punched me in the mouth or anything. It was a big deal, right? The devil works fear in us, right? But we have to conquer. We have to overcome. That's why those who overcome by the word of their testimony. And the last one there is 1 Peter 3:14. But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. So it's the persecution thing. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled. But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect. So I'm always supposed to be ready. I'm always supposed to be ready when I go, hey, Mikey, check out my bracelet. And the guy goes, really? Tell me about it. Tell me, what does this mean to you? Why do you believe that? What? Give me the answer. Well, you know what? I haven't thought about it very much. Let me come back to you in 2 weeks. Is that what the verse says? It says, always be prepared. I'm ready. I got my bracelet on. You never know. Somebody might go, that's a cool bracelet, man. Yeah, it's pretty cool. I'm not ready to say anything else, but yeah, it's cool. Does that sound like the verse? When somebody goes, hey, that's a cool bracelet. Yeah, you know what? Jesus died for all my sins and He rose from the dead and He gave me a new life and I got a new purpose now and I know about God's forgiveness. And I know that God loves me and you can have that too. That's a lot better than, yeah, that's a pretty cool bracelet. I can agree with you. Right? Okay. All right, let's flip it over here. We're going to look at these martyrs. I only got two of them, but I love these two guys. You guys might know about these. Polycarp, who they say was the first martyr. There's a few things I really like about this guy. You'll see it. This text is the story from around 160 AD of the martyrdom of Polycarp, the bishop of the Church of Smyrna in the city in Asia Minor, modern Turkey, devoted to Roman worship. The account is in the form of a letter from eyewitnesses to other churches in the area. It is the earliest chronicle of a martyrdom outside the New Testament. So here's the first thing. Polycarp refuses to deny Jesus. The proconsul asked him, remember it was a Roman place, they were under the Roman rule there, asked Polycarp whether he was Polycarp or not. On hearing that he was, he tried to persuade him to apostatize, saying, "Have respect for your old age. Swear by the fortune of Caesar," urged the proconsul. "Reproach Christ and I will set you free." Here's what the famous Polycarp, right, statement. 86 years have I served him, Polycarp declared, and he has done me no wrong. How can I blaspheme my king and my savior? That's the classic Polycarp thing, right? I love that. Well, then they go on some more with him. "I have wild animals here," the proconsul said. "I will throw you to them if you do not repent." "Call them," Polycarp replied. "It is unthinkable for me to repent from what is good to turn to what is evil. I will be glad enough to be changed from evil to righteousness." The proconsul said, "If you despise the animals, I will have you burned. You threaten me with fire which burns for an hour and then is extinguished, but you know nothing of the fire of the coming judgment and eternal punishment reserved for the ungodly. Why are you waiting? Bring on whatever you want." See, so these are the guys that really had the wristband. Not like this. This is like, you know, fifth grade basketball practice, and these guys are like the pros, right? So we should be able to do some of this, maybe. Then Polycarp prays. I love this prayer. So they simply bound him, his hands behind him, like, because he said, "Just leave me in the fire. I won't run away." They didn't nail him to the wood or anything. Ready to be an acceptable burnt offering to God, he looked up to heaven and said, "O Lord God Almighty, the Father of your beloved and blessed Son, Jesus Christ, by whom we have received the knowledge of you, the God of the angels, powers and every creature, and of all the righteous who live before you, I give you thanks that you count me worthy to be numbered among your martyrs, sharing the cup of Christ and the resurrection to eternal life, both of soul and body, through the immortality of the Holy Spirit. May I be received this day as an acceptable sacrifice, as you, the true God, have predestined, revealed to me, and now fulfilled. I praise you for all these things. I bless you and glorify you, along with the everlasting Jesus Christ, your beloved Son. To you, with him, through the Holy Ghost, be glory both now and forever. Amen." It is like some kind of a... I wish I could talk like that. Wouldn't that be cool if you could actually pray like that, talk like that? My sentences are like four words long, you know. Then this other guy here, this is pretty cool, Justin Martyr. I love this guy too. And then we'll be done with the stories. "And when you hear that we look," this guy, "when you hear that we look for a kingdom, you suppose, without making any injury, that we speak of a human kingdom. Instead, we speak of that which is with God, as can be shown from the confession of their faith made by those who are charged with being Christians, even though they know that death is the punishment awarded to those who confess." You get it? Death is coming to us who confess Jesus. "But if we looked for a human kingdom," I love this, "we would deny our Christ so that we might not be killed. We would try to escape detection so that we might obtain what we hope for. But since our thoughts are not fixed on the present, we are not concerned when men cut us off, since death is a debt which must at all events be paid." We're all going to die anyway. We might as well die this way, right? Okay, so I wanted to go over that just to show you that We're not asking you to do anything too hard. You got the wristband. You got your little speech here, this little four-point speech. And we don't have enough time today, but next week we'll take a little bit of time and we'll practice. I'll go up to Grace and say, hey, it's a cool wristband. And she has to go off on me. Right? So you guys got to be ready. Like, there's these four little things here. And you can make up your own if you don't like that. You're not bound to this, okay? We're not legalism here. You can make up your own thing. All right. Father, we thank you for the privilege again of being called in our day to be called saints. That we belong to you. You ransomed us and bought us. We belong to you, Jesus. And we're in your kingdom and we're so grateful. Our lives are short. We have a short time here. We just want to use our life, Lord, for you. Help us to do that. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.